The nearly 40-year reign of Ivan the Terrible in the Tsardom of Moscow led to devastating consequences. The Livonian War ended in a resounding defeat by the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and the Scandinavian countries, resulting in the loss of the territories gained at the beginning of the war, as well as a weakening of the Tsardom's international influence. The Oprichnina, a state policy initiated by Tsar Ivan the Terrible based on mass repressions against the boyars, public executions, and the confiscation of aristocratic estates and lands, seriously destabilized the internal situation in the country. All of this led to the so-called Time of Troubles, a socioeconomic crisis in the Tsardom of Moscow toward the end of the 16th century. The final years of Ivan the Terrible's reign were marked by raids from the Crimean Tatars, heavy taxation, the decline of agriculture, widespread famine, epidemics, and depopulation. According to the most widespread version, the first Tsar of Moscow killed his eldest son, Tsarevich Ivan, in a fit of rage under unclear circumstances. That is why, after Ivan the Terrible's death in 1584, his middle son, Fyodor I Ivanovich, ascended the throne. This Tsar of Moscow was in poor health and likely suffered from a psychological disorder. In reality, the country was ruled by his wife Irina and her brother Boris Godunov, who only partially managed to stabilize the situation in the Tsardom of Moscow. While the Tsardom of Moscow was experiencing a growing socio-political crisis that nearly destroyed the state, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth was approaching the peak of its development. The King of Poland and Grand Duke of Lithuania at the time was Sigismund III Vasa, the first ruler of the Commonwealth from the Swedish House of Vasa. He ascended the throne because he was the son of the Swedish Queen Catherine Jagiellon, daughter of Sigismund I the Old of the Jagiellonian dynasty, which had ruled Poland, with brief interruptions, for 200 years. In 1592, Sigismund III Vasa succeeded his father, the Swedish King John III. Through a personal union, he united the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth with the Kingdom of Sweden for 7 years. In 1596, he moved the capital of his dual monarchy from Krakow, the medieval capital of the Polish kingdom, to another Polish city, Warsaw. This decision was due to Krakow's location on the southwestern border of the Commonwealth. In the same year, the Union of Brest was proclaimed, an act of unification between part of the Kiev Orthodox metropolis and the Roman Catholic Church, resulting in the creation of the Ruthenian Uniate Church, whose successors are today's Ukrainian and Belarusian Greek Catholic churches. In this way, the Pope extended his influence over the East Slavic peoples, and the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth took another step in the process of Polonization and Catholicization of the Orthodox population of the former Rus-Ukraine. The Ruthenians, as Ukrainians were often called at the time, did not yet pose a direct threat to the Commonwealth. In the 1590s, the first Cossack uprisings led by Krzysztof Koszyński and Severin Naliwajko had already taken place, but the National Liberation War under the leadership of Bohdan Khmelnytsky was still far off. In 1598, Tsar Fyodor Ivanovich died without an heir. This marked the beginning of the Time of Troubles in the Tsardom of Moscow. The fact was that he no longer had any living brothers and was the last representative of the Danilovichi of Moscow, distant descendants of the junior branch of the Rurikid princely dynasty, the former rulers of Rus. After her husband's death, Irina took monastic vows and lived in the Novodievichy convent in Moscow. The Zemsky Sobor, an assembly of representatives from various social classes of the Tsardom of Moscow, elected Fyodor Ivanovich's brother-in-law, Boris Godunov, as his successor to the throne. Thus, the little-known Godunov dynasty, which according to various accounts had either Tatar or Muscovite origins, came to power on the throne of the Tsardom of Moscow. In 1599, Sigismund III Vasa lost the struggle for the Swedish throne to his uncle, Charles IX Vasa, who first became regent and then king. The following year, in 1600, the Polish-Swedish War began. The conflict was not only a battle between nephew and uncle for the Swedish crown, but also a struggle between two powerful monarchies for control over Livonia and Estland. In the same year, a volcanic eruption occurred in the distant territories of the Spanish Viceroyalty of Peru at the Huayna-Putina volcano, marking the strongest eruption in the history of South America. This natural disaster caused significant climate changes, a volcanic winter, floods, and crop failures in many parts of the world. According to some theories, it even contributed to the sharp drop in temperatures across much of the northern hemisphere. The eruption of the Huayna-Putina volcano led, according to a widely accepted theory, to social upheaval in the Tsardom of Moscow. The crop failure became the main cause of the massive famine that spread across much of the European territories of the country. Grain prices doubled, and looting, robbery, and even cannibalism spread. Landowners either released or simply expelled their serfs to avoid feeding them. The Great Famine led to the death of approximately 2 million people, which at the time constituted nearly a third of the population of the Tsardom of Moscow. In Moscow alone, according to rough estimates by researchers, 127,000 bodies were buried in mass graves. While the horrific famine continued in the Tsardom of Moscow, a figure appeared in the Commonwealth of Poland, known as False Dmitry I, who claimed to be Dmitry Ivanovich of Uglik, the youngest son of Ivan the Terrible. This Tsarevich had died back in 1591 under mysterious circumstances, from a wound to his throat caused by a sharp object. Maria Nagaya, the last wife of Ivan the Terrible and the mother of the young Dmitry, accused Boris Godunov's men of being responsible for the death. These men were killed by a mob that took justice into their own hands, as they believed they were the murderers of the only heir to Tsar Fyodor I Ivanovich. Nevertheless, an official commission led by Prince Vasily Shuisky concluded that it was an accident. Tsarevich, who suffered from epilepsy, allegedly committed suicide during an attack. Maria Nagaya was shaved and sent to a convent for her neglect, and her relatives were imprisoned. The origins of False Dmitry I remain unknown. The most widespread theory suggests he was a runaway monk from the Chudov Monastery in Moscow. Other versions claim he was the legitimate son or grandson of Ivan the Terrible, the son of the former ruler of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, Stephen Bathory, or even a group of individuals with similar backgrounds who participated in a joint conspiracy. In any case, False Dmitry I had the tacit approval of Sigismund III Vasa to recruit troops in the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and received support from a portion of the Lithuanian-Polish nobility. He promised to return territories to the Commonwealth that had been seized by the Grand Duchy of Moscow, to declare the union of the Moscow Patriarchate with the Roman Catholic Church, to join the Tsardom of Moscow in the anti-Ottoman coalition, and to assist Sigismund III Vasa in his struggle with the Kingdom of Sweden. In 1604, False Dmitry I even arranged to receive assistance in organizing a campaign against the Tsardom of Moscow from the influential Mniszek family. In return, once he became the Tsar of Moscow, False Dmitry I was to marry Marina, the daughter of the head of the Mniszek family, Jerzy Mniszek. That same year, the claimant's troops entered the territory controlled by the Tsardom of Moscow and were met by the Moscow army, led by Boyar Fyodor Mstislavsky. In the Battle of Dobrynichi, False Dmitry I was defeated and forced to retreat, establishing himself in the city of Putivl, located in the northern part of Ukraine. Nonetheless, that same year, Boris Godunov died, allegedly of natural causes due to his health, though there is also a theory that he was poisoned. The next Tsar was his son, Fyodor II Borisovich, who had the shortest reign of any Moscow Tsar, as he lost power by the summer of that year. Meanwhile, False Dmitry I, thanks to successful propaganda and the population's belief in his origins, was able to quickly rebuild his army and march toward Moscow. The boyars who supported False Dmitry I arrested Fyodor II Borisovich and his mother, the wife of Boris Godunov. Soon, the young ruler and his father's widow were killed. The official version claims they were poisoned, but the more widely accepted theory suggests that they died violently, either by strangulation or stab wounds. False Dmitry I and his army entered Moscow without resistance. At that time, Maria Nagaya ceremoniously arrived in the capital of the Moscow Tsardom and recognized him as her own son. Maria's relatives were freed, and she, the last wife of Ivan the Terrible, settled in the Ascension Convent. False Dmitry I was crowned as Tsar Dmitry Ivanovich. As the mother of the new Tsar, Maria Nagaya accepted Marina Mnishek, who arrived in Moscow in 1606. Even so, this ruler did not reign much longer than his predecessor, primarily because False Dmitry I failed to fulfill most of his promises. He did not return territories to the Commonwealth, did not initiate the Catholicization of the Moscow Tsardom, and refused to provide assistance to Sigismund III Vasa in the fight for the Swedish throne. The Moscow Tsar only began preparations for a war with the Ottoman Empire, and also promised to reimburse the Polish and Lithuanian nobility for the money they spent on the campaign against the Moscow Tsardom. On top of that, False Dmitry I began introducing European customs in Moscow, which frightened the conservative boyars and the local population. The Moscow Tsar pardoned and brought back to the capital the influential boyar Vasily Shuisky, who had attempted a coup immediately after the coronation of False Dmitry I. In response to the pardon and his special status at court, Shuisky led a boyar conspiracy, which was successful. False Dmitry I was killed just 10 days after his wedding to Marina Mnishek. Vasily Shuisky was crowned as Tsar Vasily IV Ivanovich. Marina Mnishek was captured and imprisoned in Yaroslavl, along with her father. In the same year, 1606, the uprising of Ivan Bolotnikov began. In the south of the Moscow Tsardom, a heterogeneous and disorganized army gathered, led by the leaders who opposed the boyar Tsar Vasily IV Shuisky. At the height of the rebellion, Ivan Bolotnikov's forces managed to lay siege to Moscow, but they failed to capture the capital. After that, a series of defeats followed, and the rebellion was suppressed. In 1607, in Starodoub, an unknown figure appeared, calling himself False Dmitry II, claiming to be Tsar Dmitry Ivanovich, and continuing the legend of False Dmitry I. He received support from the remnants of Ivan Bolotnikov's army and some Polish-Lithuanian nobility who had previously helped False Dmitry I. Meanwhile, in the Commonwealth, the Zebrzydowski Rebellion took place. A part of the Polish nobility rose against Sigismund III Vasa, led by the voivode of Krakow, Mikołaj Zebrzydowski. The reasons for the rebellion were restrictions on the nobility's power and the ruler's attempts to introduce a hereditary monarchy instead of an elective one. In the decisive Battle of Guzów, the military commander Stanisław Zukiewski defeated the rebels. Still, Sigismund III Vasa agreed to abandon his attempts to strengthen his monarchical power. In 1608, Vasily IV Shuisky released and sent Marina Mnishek to Poland after she renounced her imperial title. All the same, Jerzy Mnishek still wanted to become the Tsar's father-in-law. He made an agreement with False Dmitry II, who needed confirmation of his status. Marina Mnishek publicly recognized him as her husband, for which her father received 300,000 rubles and 14 border towns of the Siverian region. That same year, False Dmitry II, who by then controlled a significant portion of the territory of the Tsardom of Moscow, made an unsuccessful attempt to capture Moscow. At the beginning of 1609, Vasily IV Shuisky concluded the Treaty of Viborg with Sweden. In exchange for military assistance, the Tsar promised to cede territories near the Neva and Ladoga. Swedish troops and European mercenaries under the command of Jakub de Lagardy helped repel False Dmitry II from Moscow and liberate part of the territories. The ruler of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, Sigismund III Vasa, saw that the conflict between Vasily IV and False Dmitry II was still ongoing, and now Sweden was involved as well. So he decided to act openly, to invade the Tsardom of Moscow and seize power for his eldest son, Władysław. Preparations for the intervention had begun in Poland after the death of False Dmitry I, but the actual implementation of the plans only took place in 1609, Thus began the Polish-Russian War. Sigismund III Vasa sought to take advantage of the situation and destroy the Tsardom of Moscow, which had repeatedly waged wars in previous centuries and posed a constant threat to the Kingdom of Poland and the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. The formal reason for declaring war was the potential formation of a Moscow-Swedish alliance against the Commonwealth. In 1609, under the personal command of Sigismund III Vasa, the armies of the Commonwealth crossed the border and laid siege to Smolensk. The defense of the city was led by Boyar Mikhail Sheyin. After a failed assault, the Commonwealth forces began a prolonged siege. Meanwhile, false Dmitry II lost the support of the Poles and retreated to Kaluga. This allowed Tsar Vasily IV Shuiski in 1610 to send a joint Russian-Swedish army, commanded by his brother Dmitry Shuiski, to lift the siege of Smolensk. In response, the forces of the Polish commander Stanisław Żółkiewski set out to meet them. The two armies met at the Battle of Klushino. The Russian-Swedish forces had a significant numerical advantage, but the quality of the army and the command skills were on the side of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. The Russian government failed to pay the Swedish soldiers and European mercenaries under Jakub de Lagardy, leading to a decrease in the military potential of their allies. Dmitry Shuiski suffered a decisive defeat, and the battle became one of the most famous triumphs of Polish cavalry, and a resounding victory for the commander Stanisław Żółkiewski. In Moscow, the boyars deposed Vasily IV Shuiski and agreed to proclaim the crown prince Władysław, the heir of Sigismund III Vasa, as the Tsar of Moscow. Soon, Stanisław Żółkiewski captured Moscow without a fight, and the deposed Vasily Shuiski was sent as a prisoner to the ruler of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, Sigismund III Vasa, who continued the siege of Smolensk. For Jakub de Lagardy and Sweden, the proclamation of Prince Władysław as Tsar of Moscow was a violation of the Treaty of Viborg. Moreover, the Polish-Swedish War was still ongoing. By order of King Charles IX Vasa, de Lagardy's troops launched the Swedish-Muscovite War and attempted to take what had been promised by force. At the end of the year, false Dmitry II was killed in Kaluga. In 1611, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and Sweden signed a truce. Sigismund III Vasa focused on maintaining control over the territories of the Tsardom of Russia, while his uncle, Charles IX Vasa, entered the Kalmar War with the Kingdom of Denmark and Norway. Soon, Charles IX Vasa died, and his son and successor, Gustav II Adolf, decided to continue the truce with the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. In 1611, the forces of Jakub de Lagardy stormed and captured Novgorod, the former capital of the Novgorod Republic. At the same time, an unsuccessful attempt by the First People's Militia to revolt against the foreigners and the rule of the so-called Seven Boyars took place in Moscow. The Seven Boyars were a group of influential Moscow boyars who had previously deposed Vasily IV Shuiski and were now ruling in the absence of Prince Władysław. At the same time, Sigismund III Vasa finally captured Smolensk. After that, the ruler of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth returned to Warsaw. Vasily Shuiski, who had been imprisoned in Gostynin, went with him. In the city of Nizhny Novgorod, Prince Dmitry Pozharsky and the Zemsky headman Kuzma Minin began forming the Second People's Militia. In 1612, the Battle of Moscow took place. The forces of Dmitry Pozharsky, who had previously entered Yaroslavl, confronted the great Lithuanian hetman Jan Karol Jotkiewicz, whose army was marching towards Moscow to help maintain the city under the control of the Commonwealth. The Second People's Militia won, and the Polish-Lithuanian forces retreated. That same year, Vasily Shuiski died in Gostynin. There is a version that he was poisoned. The Zemsky Sobor of 1613 became one of the key events in Russian history. In the Dormition Cathedral within the Moscow Kremlin, a gathering of representatives from various estates of the Russian Tsardom elected Michael Romanov as Tsar. Among the contenders were Prince Władysław, who had recently been considered the Tsar of Moscow, the younger brother of the Swedish King Charles Philip, and the Austrian Archduke Maximilian III. The 16-year-old Michael was chosen because of his youth, as it was believed he would be easily manipulated, as well as due to the influence and status of his father, the boyar Fyodor Romanov, who was in Polish captivity. This marked the foundation of the Romanov dynasty, which ruled until 1917. The coronation of Michael I Romanov is considered the end of the Time of Troubles, one of the most difficult periods in Russian history. Yet, the war with the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth did not end, as Prince Władysław did not renounce his claims to the Russian throne. While he was preparing for a military campaign, the Kingdom of Sweden and the Tsardom of Moscow, with the mediation of King James I of England, signed the Treaty of Stolbovo in 1617. According to the treaty, Sweden returned Novgorod and recognized Michael I Romanov as Tsar, while the Tsardom of Russia lost access to the Baltic Sea and was obliged to pay 20,000 rubles in silver. That same year, Prince Władysław's campaign on Moscow began. His troops set off from Warsaw and, near Smolensk, joined the army of Jan Karl Jotkiewicz. The Polish-Lithuanian forces set up camp near the city of Vyazma. Due to poor funding, the size of the army quickly decreased. So at the beginning of 1618, they turned to the Cossack army for help. In exchange for their assistance, the Cossacks were promised financial rewards and an expansion of their privileges. On their way from Kyiv to Moscow, the Zaporozhian Cossacks, led by Hetman Petro Sahaidachny, achieved several victories. They stormed and captured Yelets, and won battles near Kolomna and at the Donskoy Monastery. Near Moscow, the Zaporozhian Cossacks joined forces with Prince Władysław. The united troops attempted to storm the capital of the Tsardom of Moscow, but were forced to retreat. The situation was difficult for the Moscow authorities, which is why they began negotiations. At the end of the year, the Deolino Truce was signed. The Chernihiv land, Siverchina, and Smolensk region became part of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, leading to the largest geographical expansion in the history of the dualistic state. The Zaporozhian Cossacks received the promised money and charters. Prince Władysław renounced his claims to the Russian throne. The boyar Fyodor Romanov was released from captivity. He would become the Patriarch of Moscow, Filaret, the following year, and effectively ruled his son's kingdom until his death in 1633. Despite all the defeats, the weakened Tsardom of Moscow retained its independence. The Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth expanded its territories and strengthened its influence in Eastern Europe. The deterioration of relations between the states, as well as their confrontation with Sweden, led to further conflicts, including the participation of all three countries in the National Liberation War led by Bohdan Khmelnytsky and the Great Northern War.